Blog Talk Radio. Thank you for joining Dr. Perletta Ramos and Roz Shell in Living Life Powerfully. We help you turn the ordinary into the extraordinary by claiming your power, getting your heart in the game, and learning how to live from the inside out. Let's create more happiness and success in your life.
Max Ehrman, in his poem, Desiderata, says, "If you compare yourself with others, you may become vain or bitter, for always there will be greater and lesser person than yourself." Today's conversation is about intelligence, and I'm just curious, how many of us are either vain or bitter because we think we are more intelligent than someone else or less intelligent than someone? I spent this weekend with a number of really smart people I went to law school with, and I remember 20 years ago feeling less intelligent. And it was so funny because in preparation for the show, I thought, wow, you know, I feel like we're equals now, because to some degree I've healed myself of the desire to compare and just be myself. And so today's conversation is about intelligence, and not just what is intelligence, but going into a more thoughtful conversation about the role that learning and understanding and evolving has in our lives every day. So, Raj, when you think about your personal level of intelligence, what do you think?
Okay, so I have this quote that I just love. It's by Albert Einstein, and he says, "As a human being, one has been endowed with just enough intelligence to be able to see clearly how utterly inadequate that intelligence is when confronted with what exists." And to me, this expresses it very succinctly how I feel about intelligence. I think that we are all intelligent. If we weren't, we couldn't have learned the language. We couldn't have learned how to read and write and walk and have the ability to take in new information. But a measurement of intelligence, to me, is where the problem lies. We are intelligent beings. Every cell in our body is intelligence. Our liver is intelligence. Our kidneys are intelligence. Everything is intelligence. But our own perception of it waxes and wanes, because what exists right in front of us at the moment, we realize, hey, you know what? I may have to learn something here. And that's where we don't feel adequate.
Well, so the quote by Einstein and Max Ehrman really speak to this idea of comparing ourselves to others, right? And as opposed to just accepting what's true for us and recognizing what you just said, that we all have this capacity. So what's funny to me is that the show, have you seen the Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader show?
No, I've never seen that show. Is it good?
I have seen it on occasion, and it's actually quite entertaining. It's a television show that started in 2007, and has gotten more than 12 million viewers a week. And a part of why it's so compelling is the contestants answer questions, really simple questions that, well, they're really simple if you know the answers.
But yeah, I know. I'm afraid to watch it. I'm afraid to watch it because it'll be like, no, I'm not smarter than a fifth grader.
Well, but that's the thing, right? And on some level, that's the comparison. It's like the comparison is for adults, you know, you should know these answers. And if you don't, it means somehow that you're a moron. because you should have learned this in grade school. I think the show is a perfect example of not just the comparison, but how much we value intelligence and how we look at intelligence as in having an answer to a specific question or having amassed so much trivia knowledge. And we sometimes talk about intelligence as it relates to how much information we somehow have stored in our brain. However, that's only one measure of intelligence. So what is intelligence? That brings us to that question, because some people live in the comparison in a negative way, and they feel like they're not intelligent as compared to someone else, which can cause all sorts of issues because they're not recognizing the value of who they are and the truth of who they are in terms of their innate intelligence, which is more than just a comparison of how much information you have stored. So a simple way of looking at that, of intelligence, is your ability to learn. And like you just mentioned, Raj, and after you spoke about Einstein's comments, we all have an innate ability to learn. There's inherent intelligence in the body, in the mind, and in our beingness. As we grow and evolve over time, we grow in a systemic way, and that in and of itself is defines intelligence as having an ability to learn or understand things or to deal with new or difficult situations. That's a very simple definition of intelligence, and one that most of us don't really think of when we think of intelligence. We think of IQ tests, we think of SAT and ACT tests, we think of measures, you know, the objective measures of intelligence, either through those types of tests or in comparison to others, and we kind of see ourselves as being more or less intelligent based on how we scored, you know, on objective measures or how we compare against other people. And those are very limiting ways of looking at it. Also, intelligence is quite often seen as our ability to, or our capacity to understand logic and abstract thought. So I spent time on a college campus this past weekend, and I was around a number of students, because it's a STEM college or STEM-focused university that focuses on science and technology and engineering and math. And there are, you know, astrophysicists and bioengineering students. And conversation with them was quite interesting because part of their focus is on logic, abstract thought, and understanding, which are some stereotypical ways of understanding intelligence. And in conversations with them, that's what they talked about, you know, calculus 3 and, you know, queuing theory and, you know, concepts I'd never heard of. And they didn't necessarily talk about other forms of of intelligence, like having a deeper understanding or self-awareness, communication, learning, emotional knowledge or intelligence, memory, creativity, and problem solving. All of those are other forms of intelligence that we tend to, again, not pay as much attention to. So this question about have you ever thought about how you learn and who you are as an intelligent being, I started off asking you, Raj, because it's a very important question for each of us, because if we limit ourselves in our concept or our idea of how we perceive our intelligence, then quite often we'll live into that. And so one of the desires I have for this show is for us collectively, for those who are listening, and for you and I also, Raj, to expand our concept of ourselves and others when we think of intelligence so that we can see it beyond a very limited way of thinking of it.
Go ahead, Perletta.
No, I was going to actually transition to how we learn and what are some of the ways that we just naturally, I think, learn, whether we think about it or not. And mm-hmm. most of us learn by what we hear, by what we see, or what we experience, you know, by touching or, you know, if we're a kinesthetic learner. And that's it. It's and many times it's a combination of the three.
So oh, yeah, absolutely. What kind of a learner are you?
I tend to be more of a kinesthetic learner, uh-huh. which means, give you an example, I love to dance. Mm-hmm. And I can watch someone do the moves, but it's not until I actually mimic and physically get into it, into the moves mm-hmm. themselves, do I learn the best. I can look at it and maybe learn, you know, the basics. You know, I can mm-hmm. get a sense of it. But once I start doing it, then and trial and error and doing it over and over, it just locks it in for me.
Hmm.
And if someone tries to tell me, you know, and it's so funny because I have taken dance classes before and I love them. Some people learn through count, you know, one count and the instructor will say, okay, turn left, do this, dip, pop. that's not my thing. You can't tell. I can't do it by hearing. It's just like I don't need to know the count. Actually, I don't even know the counts when I dance. I dance based upon rhythm and the feel of it. And it's so interesting because some people need to know the count and to turn on count four and, you know, that type of thing does not work for me. How about you?
Yeah. See, I know I'm not a, you know, auditory learner because if I'm listening to a book on tape or whatever in my car, I have to keep listening to it over and over because it's like, what did they say? Oh, I forgot that concept. You know, most people, this is from what I've read, most people are visual learners. And I would say I'm visual and, you know, kinesthetic too. I always remember, I retain more, just like you, when I'm actually doing everything and actually feeling it. So, but I'm definitely, I know what I'm not, and that's auditory. Even though I will continue to listen to the books on tape, but I don't retain the information as well.
And I think it's important to not have expectations of ourselves, like, you know, I should learn this way, or what's wrong with me if I don't get it? Because you just mentioned, you know, if you hear it, you just won't get it. You'd be like, well, what did they say again? I know I heard this way.
Exactly.
And the reality is you get it in the way that you get it. And I say this to clients all the time, in your own way and in your own time. Right? Mm-hmm. It's only when we judge ourselves harshly that we feel like we're inadequate. And quite often with this, having either often in particular, having a low sense of intelligence or lower in comparison, do we feel bad about it? And that's not what this conversation is about. So it's like however you learn, it's the way that you learn. And if you don't know, then that's a good conversation for you to be in, and this is for our listeners, about what way is best for you, because play to your strength. There's value in playing to your strength and knowing what your strength is. So think about your life's earliest lesson. It may have been, you know, crossing the street, or it may have been, you know, when your mother said, no, don't put that in your mouth. You may not remember that because you're like 2 or 3 years old, or maybe younger when children start putting things in their mouth. But for me, one of those is hearing my mother say, don't touch the stove, it's going to burn you, right?
Mm-hmm.
And when I heard that, as a kid, I still kind of wanted to touch it because I was a kinesthetic learner. I wanted to be like, what does that mean? Don't burn me.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yeah, you have to do it yourself.
I had to feel it because I'm like, burn? What does that? I didn't know what, you know, I don't know if you're 3 or 4, you've never been burned. You don't know what being burned means. So for some people, they could watch their brother or someone else touch the stove and never touch it, and they would learn the lesson of, oh, I better not do that. Right. So that's for the person who can see, by the visual learner. And then for those who are listening, they heard their mother believe the information. They never had to touch it at all. And all they did was heard mother say no. And that was enough.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so, and there's nothing wrong with being either any of those, a listener or a seer or a feeler of experience. Absolutely nothing. But what we need most important is to understand how we each learn without judgment so that we can better understand ourselves and we can capitalize on learning from the information that's available to us in the world and in ourselves.
So, Perletta, I have a question for you.
Yes,
okay,
ma'am.
So my good friend Albert Einstein, I just love him. You know, yes. You know, when he talks about the true sign of intelligence is not knowledge but imagination, what do you think that means? What do you think it means? Like, you know, our imagination versus, you know, the knowledge that we've acquired. I mean, that to me has always been very interesting because a lot of times we're not really encouraged to pay attention to our imagination, or we're not encouraged to imagine, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
two things come up for me when you ask that question. The first thing is the conversation about rote learning and how I think we overemphasize what I talked about in the introduction. We overemphasize logic and because we so value and measure intelligence by a very rigid construct of it. You know, if you're very good in math, or if you score really well analytically or logically, you're intelligent. And so the other part of existence is based upon really what's outside of, you know, that very, I'm going to say, systematic way of thinking, right? There's this whole world outside of that. And we miss it when we're looking for the answer, because when we narrow down on a specific answer, then we miss the field of possibilities, you know, that's out there. And so the world of imagination, and I'll put that under the umbrella of creativity, that's how I see imagination as a part of creativity. When we focus on our creativity, there are no, you know, specific answers per se. You know, we're open to a field of the infinite potential knowledge, information, and what's available for us is to explore that. And it's one of the reasons my daughter, the younger one, went to a private school, because by the time I figured out, the rote learning wasn't necessarily the best learning. It was just one avenue. My elder daughter had already matriculated through school. And a part of what the philosophy was of, and she didn't go to a Montessori program, but it was similar to that, is that you teach kids to love learning, and they can discover anything. They can learn anything, but not stifling them into rigid answers, help them to explore potential. And there's, like I mentioned, an infinite possibility of potentiality out there. So that's what it conjures up for me. It's not being rigid and having a solution, but being open to, you know, the field of infinite possibilities and being able to create from that, which is how we have advances in everything from, you know, medicine, technology. It's because we those people who were inventors lived outside of what they already knew, and they looked at creating something beyond what some of us could conceive of.
Absolutely. And that's, yeah.
So you asked the question, what made you ask?
Well, I don't know. I've just always, you know, grappled with those two. It's like, okay, so I do know personally for myself that the imagination part is a very important part of my life, because that's, like you said, it's that place of, you know, infinite possibilities. And when I come from that place, it's just a matter of acquiring whatever the resources I need to make that possibility happen, right? There's no fixed way that, you know, okay, I'm either intelligent or not intelligent. I think to get started, I think this is where people sometimes fall off the wagon, is, you know, you have to have a certain amount of self-confidence that you have some intelligence, right, to move forward with a new possibility. But what happens is when you start to move in that direction, if it's something totally new to you, now it's like, okay, I didn't expect this to happen. I didn't expect these obstacles. And then we give up. So I think there's a time when we have to totally, even within ourselves, look at intelligence differently. You know, we have to then allow our imagination to take over. We have to be able to gather the resources that we need in order to move forward.
Well, I think that there is value in all of it, right? So intelligence testing can be very useful and helpful to, you know, colleges use it as a means of helping to place students in their universities, because you don't want people who do not have a certain skill set or ability to be placed in an environment that's not good for them. So, you know, it has its usefulness. And,
oh, yeah, for sure.
And it has its limitations.
It's limited.
Like everything
it's
else.
Limited.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And there's a researcher, Adam Hampshire, who is a researcher and psychologist at the Brain and Mind Institute of Natural Sciences Center in England, in London, Ontario, who spoke to this very idea that there are multiple types of intelligence, and which is really valuable, because the scientific community oftentimes, I think, looks at it in a limited way. So if we develop a more comprehensive understanding of what those multiple types of intelligence are, then we can help people understand the fullness, the full breadth of who they are, whether it be from an imagination, you know, perspective like you mentioned, or a creativity, whether it be an emotional or self-awareness. You know, there are some people who are just great at communicating. And when you think, we don't typically think of communication as a form of intelligence, but it really is. You know, the ability to relate to another person is a skill set, is a way of communicating and being with people that not everybody has. Some people are superior with it. I'm reading a current book in the book on Leadership 101, I think is the name of it. And in it, they talk about Ronald Reagan being the supreme communicator. People talk about Ronald Reagan today. He's been dead, 20 years left. But they talk about him constantly because for some people, he represented the human touch, being able to relate to a multitude of people. And even though he was the president and held in high esteem, from what I've read about him, because I've never met him in person, but he could talk to anyone and develop an instant rapport, and people felt connected to him and were willing to follow him. Well, that's a form of intelligence that, you know, many of us don't possess, but we don't look at it, you know, communication skills to that depth as a form of intelligence, and it really is, according to researchers. The same thing with emotional intelligence. And I know you and I have had conversations. Actually, we've done workshops on emotional intelligence together.
Yes, we have.
Yeah. And so, you know, each of these things, whether, as I mentioned, I mean, just saying again, creativity, our emotional awareness, our self-awareness, problem-solving, communications, each of those are forms of intelligence that we have. We each have an innate, I think, capacity for and an ability to develop if we put our attention and our intention into, one, noticing, knowing what they are, but also in developing our awareness in those areas. I know the self-awareness piece is quite significant from a societal standpoint because we've been hearing more and more and more about, you know, happiness and the research on, you know, nations that are more happy and the governments are beginning to include happiness measures into our growth domestic products. Why is that? Because this idea, we're developing, I think we're developing emotional intelligence very slowly as a society, but being focused more on internal measures of, you know, being self-aware as having as much value as external factors, which is very new in our culture. But on getting back to the question that you asked earlier about, or the quote that you gave earlier about Einstein in the very beginning, you know, our ability to evolve who we are as people is, I think, contingent in part on our ongoing desire to develop greater self-awareness individually and as a society. And that is a form of intelligence. It's a collective. Our individual efforts relate to our collective efforts and becomes quite powerful from a universal standpoint, right? As you grow and develop, then you impact me and we impact one another, and then we're all lifted up. You know, look at, you know, when I was in law school 20 years ago when I started, or 23 years ago when I started, I didn't have a laptop, you know. Now, I won't say everybody, but many, millions of people have laptops, commonplace. Same thing with a cell phone. So when one person makes a discovery and it's mass-produced, then we all get to benefit and collectively grow and evolve who we are, which is wonderful.
Yeah, you know, the other way, as you're talking, I'm reminded of, you know, in we're gathering information all the time, like in so many different ways, you know, visually, you know, kinesthetically, I mean, just in all the different ways we gather information. And now we can have information, but now we've got to be able to put it together and use it. So we can use it for good things or we can use it for not so good things, like that physician, right, in Michigan. I think he was like in international news about how he was an oncologist and how he used the information that he had gathered to do some really bad stuff. He told all these people they had cancer when they didn't, and made them go through chemotherapy, radiation, all of that. Some of them, many of them died. So, yeah.
I remember reading about that.
Yeah, exactly. So he had all the information. He went to medical school. He was smart. So what really, you know, what really matters is now how you're going to put all this information together that's been collected and how you're going to use it. And that's one of the things that we need to ask ourselves. How are we using what we have acquired through our own life experiences, through school, through, you know, like other people, maybe through our mentors? How are we going to put it together? What are we going to do with it? Huh?
I said through our trials and errors. You know, sometimes we don't want to make quote unquote mistakes, but we actually learn from those, right? But so in some way, at least this is what I communicate with people that I work with. You know, our quote unquote errors are really not errors; they're learning opportunities. That's how we learn. It's all good, or could be used for our good if we choose to see it that way. And cognitive and developmental psychologists understand that people learn by connecting what they already know with what they're trying to learn, right? So, you know, in this example or issue that you brought up of how do we use it, well, we use it by recognizing that, you know, we already have certain pieces of information and we don't know everything. We're all in the process of becoming. We're all in the process of learning. So when we are humble and recognizing we don't know everything, we can't. We're evolving, you know, intelligent species, so we have the capacity to learn. We're all intelligent. We all have this capacity. No matter who we are, what our circumstances are, if you have a learning disability, you still have the capacity to learn. And if you've been deemed brilliant as a genius, you have a capacity to learn. And if we don't compare ourselves with one another, then there's no feeling bad because we accept where we are and that we all have, you know, if we so desire, an intention to move from that and grow, and then we can actively make meaning out of where we are individually. And then collectively, when we do that, right, when we bring our energy together and share information, then that universal, what I've mentioned before, the universal consciousness, we're all able to come together and use our innate talents and abilities to uplift one another.
Yes, you have spoken. Perletta has spoken, and that is so true.
I totally agree
with that, Perletta. I totally agree with that. And you know, like I always say to my clients, it is so important to understand that for your journey, all of your answers are inside of you. Everything is there. It's going to show up. When you get started on the journey, everything you need, the people you need, the resources you need, they will show up for you somehow. You cannot even imagine it. It's just get started. Start doing something. Use the information that you've collected through all these years and start walking on that path. Use your imagination. To me, that is intelligence. Just start walking.
Right. Well, and we each have the capacity through our thoughts to manifest using that same field of intelligence, no matter where you scored on any type of, you know, measure. And you like to use the word imagination, which is fine, creativity. But it's also, like we mentioned earlier, it's also self awareness. It's also communication. And so the most important thing is, you know, that as a form of universal intelligence, that we all have an innate ability and capacity to learn and grow. And we're each, I believe, an organism existing in this larger organism, and that being the universe. And if we allow ourselves to just be comfortable in our own skin and our own abilities and be open to growing and learning, then we'll get to wherever we want to get to. So that's enough of my preaching for today. Thank you for joining us today on Living Life Powerfully. We know you're